Quinn Mark here. Hymnals in number 912. Be the song. My voice. Be the song following the lesson this morning. Hope you received an outline when you came in or a bulletin. Ask my brethren to look around and please share or feel free to get up and get one. But I'd like, if we have guests or whatever, they'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning. The lesson, at least the title, comes from our scripture reading that was given to us. We're going to talk about having faith in God. And you can see from the notes, I've listed just six things. There's obviously more. We're going to focus on these six things. When you think about having faith in God, I want you to have faith in God. And my God is real. So just the idea of God, the person of God. Second, I want you to have faith in the power of God. And number three, in the providence of God. And number four, in the presence of God. Number five, in the promises of God. And last, number six, have faith in the precepts of God. That what God says He'll do, believe it. Believe it. By way of introduction, I just want to put a definition of that title that we have. Have faith in God. The idea, if you're going to have faith in God, it means you're going to possess that faith. If you have that faith, it means to have and to hold. It means that I want you to keep that faith. I want you to have that faith. I want you to experience your faith as your own. I make it personal. I have faith in God. It means ownership. It means it's mine. It's mine. Have faith in God. By faith, by definition, or at least some parts of the definition, mean this is what I believe. In our lesson this morning, it's belief in God. But you're going to have blessed assurance. Means you're going to have confidence in. I have faith. Means there's some things that I know for certain. I have this trust. I have my faith in God without a doubt. If I have faith in God, it means I'm fully persuaded. It means that my knowledge is based on the evidence that's presented in the Bible. My faith has reasonableness to it. It's not just blind faith. There's a rationale for my faith. I have faith in God. And by God, or the Hebrew writer says in our text this morning, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence, it's what I believe, of things not seen. Verse 3, he said, by faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. I believe that. I have faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which appear. What a statement. I believe the things which are seen were not made by the things that we see. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, for this reason I suffer all things. Why do you suffer, Paul? Why are you going through the troubles and the trials? And he said, I'm not ashamed, for I know, that's our faith. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, confidence, blessed assurance. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I have faith in God. Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 6, there's one God and Father of all. One God. I have faith in one God. In Mark chapter 11, verse 20, story of Jesus and his disciples. And he's cursed a fig tree, and they're back on their way back from their journey. It said that in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, says, oh, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Jesus, you know what you said? It happened. It happened. So Jesus brings the lesson home. Peter, have faith in God. The psalmist said in Psalm 14, verse 1, it's the foolish one. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we're going to look in our lesson this morning rather briefly with each of these, but have faith in these things about God. Number one, I just want you to believe in the person of God or the reality of God. Believe that God exists. You know, the Bible affirms it. That's one reason why I believe it. There's no evidence to not believe it. You know, the Bible says there's no other way in our reading to account for creation, for one example. You look back in the very beginning of the Bible, the first four words, in the beginning, God. It just assumes they're in existence. Doesn't explain it. Just says, in the beginning, God. God. God created the heavens and the earth. In Psalm 8, verse 3, and this one's not in your notes, but in Psalm 8, verse 3, he says, when I consider your, meaning God, God's heaven, I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you, God, have ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him? You think about of all God's creation, he's mindful of us. He's mindful of creation too, but he's mindful of us. And so Psalm 19 said, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's right. Firmament shows his handiwork. So we make that conclusion, if there's a creation, there must be a creator. If there's a design in our universe, which there is, there must be a designer. Or if there's a building, we make that conclusion there had to be a builder. So the foolish one has said in his heart, when he looks at creation, there must be a creator. The foolish one says there's no creator. There is no God. You know, take it like this way. The creation is very limited. The creation doesn't tell you how many gods. The creation doesn't speak to you about how to have your sins forgiven. The creation doesn't tell you how to worship. You can go to that tree, that bush, you can look up at that sun, that moon, and you can speak to it all you want to, but it's not going to answer you and say, Brian, this is how I want you to behave in your relationships with one another. Not going to speak to me. But so many times people worship the creation instead of the creator. The creation is not going to come out and tell me how to have my sins forgiven. Speak to me. You can talk to that bush all you want to, but it's not going to give you any information. The heavens certainly declare the glory of God. So that's the point number one. That we realize there is a creator. But now when we think about believe something else, we're going to talk about believing the precepts of God. God had not only reveals himself in creation, but he's going to reveal himself in his word in a moment. And that's going to be our lesson. So then number two, and now that I want you to have faith in the power of God. I just put some questions. These are some Old Testament stories. When Moses questioned God's ability to feed the Israelites on their journey. They were tired of that bread, that manna that God gave them day after day after day. They said, God, we're tired of this manna. They began to murmur. And so God says, Moses, you tell the people, I'll give them meat to eat. I'll give them meat to eat, not 5, 10, 15, 20, but I'll give them meat to eat for 30 days or a whole month till it comes out their nostrils. And you know what Moses said? God, can you do that? Can you do that? Do you know how many thousands of people in this army? Can you feed them meat for a month? And the Lord said, Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Is my arm short? Oh, rhetorical question. God can do it. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And God has told him through the angels that you're going to have a baby. Sarah begins to laugh. Said, no, you know, I have pleasure in my old age. And so finally, God comes to them. The Lord says to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Even having a child 100 years old and Sarah's 90. Anything too hard for the Lord? I can give you a child. And he does. He does. Power of God. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus gives some difficult teaching to the disciples. He said, when the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished. And they said, well, Lord, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, well, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want you to have faith in the power of God. In the power of God. God's ability. And it's been demonstrated. It's been witnessed. And Peter brought that to the people's mind on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And these are devout Jews from every nation that it's in Peter's audience. And in Acts 2 verse 22, Peter says, men of Israel, the Israelites, God's people, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in your midst. You can't deny the power of God. And then he says, as you yourselves know. That's right. I want you to believe not only in reality of God, that he's there, but second, in the power of God. In the power of God. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Paul says, now unto him who is able to do. And then he kind of builds on that. Who is able to do whatever God does, he's able to do exceedingly. And he adds to it, abundantly, above all, that you can ask or even think. God is able to do that. You ever say, God, can you do that? The answer is yes. He can do things that you can't even dream up or think about. He is able to do. And when you think about, God is real and God's powerful. I believe that. Number three, believe in the providence of God. In Genesis chapter 50, Joseph has reached a point of elevation and power in Pharaoh's court. And his brothers had to come back to him. And the brothers are the ones that traded him off or sold him to the Midianites who passed by. Remember, so Joseph gets to Egypt and he begins to be at a position of power. And the brothers finally have to come to him. And so Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, said, don't be afraid. They wondered, oh man, what's Joseph going to do to us? We sold our brother. You're not supposed to sell your family members. don't sell your brother. Trade him off. But that's what happened. So the brothers now come to Joseph and they went, oh my goodness, what is Joseph going to do to us? So the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For am I the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day. Oh, providence of God. To save many people alive. So then Joseph says it again. Now therefore, don't be afraid. I'll provide for you. I'll provide for your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke to them kindly. It's kind of a personal story. Our son JC and our daughter-in-law Diana live up in Arbuckle, California, about 50 plus miles north of Sacramento on Highway 5. And our grandson right now, he's 2.5 years old. But 2.5 years ago, She was, Diana, our daughter-in-law, was getting close to deliver our grandson. And they made their way to the doctor because she said, I just don't feel him moving much. I don't feel him hardly moving at all. So they went to the doctor, and the doctor kind of said the first thing, said, well, I don't see any situation, but to go and eat something, and then maybe that will trigger something. So they went to eat, and they were driving back from Sacramento to their house. And Diana just said, this doesn't feel right. She called Christine, her mother-in-law. Christine, after hearing her Diana's story, says, you turn that car around, and you go back to the hospital, and you call the doctor and tell him you're on your way. And sure enough, when they got to the hospital and took one more look, they took her in and delivered that baby C-section. Providence? I'm blaming God for that. I'm blaming God. Thank you that you saw in my daughter-in-law the opportunity or the desire. I'm calling my mother-in-law. Providence. God had a hand in that. That baby spent several weeks in the intensive care unit. It's finally out, but here now, 2.5 years later, doing okay. Providence. I have faith in the providence of God. I have faith. Well, in Romans 8, verse 28, we know all things work together for good. All things. Not just good things work together for good, but sad things or troublesome times, they can work for good. Providence of God. I have faith in that. Faith in that. Number four, faith in the presence of God. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 1. Psalm says, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and rising up. Verse 7 said, where can I go from your spirit? I'm not sure if that question is a phrase of exasperation. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide? How can I get out of your sight? Or if it's an expression of praise, where, God, can I go from your presence? Thank you for always being there. But he asked the question, God, where can I go from your spirit? And he answers his own question. The psalmist said, if I ascend to the heights, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. The darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness is as light unto you. Where can I go from your presence? I have faith in the presence of God. I have faith. There's an old song, it's not in our book now, but I remember it as a child. But the song was titled, just all the way my Savior leads me. All the way. What shall I ask beside? All the way. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. It seems like each situation gets a little worse. Yea, though I go through the low part of the valley, shadow, death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Have faith in the presence of God. Number five. Love it. Put another verse in your notes. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. What am I going to fear? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The promise. I have faith in the presence of God. Number five, I have faith in the promises of God. Titus 1, verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised, and he can't lie. You know, if we preach in Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, I believe that. God can't lie. If I repent and baptize, I believe God will forgive me of my sins. He will give me that spirit. The Bible says he can't lie. I believe that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it's impossible for God to lie. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I believe that. That I lack nothing to get me from here to heaven. I lack nothing. All spiritual blessings have been provided me. I have faith in the promises of God that what he says, he'll deliver. I believe that. The last one, number 6, I have faith in the precepts of God. In Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, right in the very middle in chapter 17, verse 17, he prays to God and he says, sanctify them or separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. I believe it. God doesn't lie, and I believe in his precepts. His word is truth. In 1 John 5, verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's me. God, what have you written for me? These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Don't go through life wondering, oh, I wonder if I'm saved or not. I wonder if my sins are forgiven or not. I want you to have that blessed assurance that we sing about, that Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I know, and I'm persuaded that he'll keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I believe that. I believe in the precepts, the promises of God, the providence of God, and all of these other things that we have here. One that I didn't put in the note. It's in John chapter 20. Verses 30 and 31, where it says, many other signs, power of God, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But he said, these are written. I have faith in the precepts of God. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing might have life through his name. I believe that. So when you end the lesson today, have faith in God. I've just put these 6 things. I want you to have faith in the person of God, the reality of God. My God is real. I want you to have faith in the power of God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I even ask or think. Why do I hesitate to ask? He can do more than I even ask or think. Ask. I believe in the providence of God. I look back through my life and I look back, how did I get safely thus far? By the way I've lived my life. I look back, well, it had to be the providence of God. Especially when I think about some choices that I could have made. Why did I go to this college? Why did I choose Christine to marry? Why did I, why do I have our children? Why did I choose this direction? Providence of God. He's led me safely all the way. I have faith in the presence of God. He's beside me. You know, we sing a song, you know, God will take care of you. Yeah. God will take care of you. Faith in the promises of God and faith in the precepts of God. And that brings us to the invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, if you don't have that hope of heaven that's given to us, affirmed by God's word, if we do things God's way. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way. He's not a way among many ways to God. He is the way. He is the truth. He's not a truth among many truths. He's the truth. He says, I'm the life. He's not a life among many ways to live. He's the life. And he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity this morning. Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's only one way to put on Christ. Be baptized and have this faith and that hope and eternal life that's been given to us by God who cannot lie. Let's stand together and sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If that's your resolve, if that's your determination this morning, become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins, you just need to let it be known at the close of this song. Dennis? Dave.